I just decided, I'm like, I don't want to live this way forever. Yeah. And I'm not going to.
I am your host, Zach Weaver, and this is Made Us. My guest this week is someone I know really well. Matter of fact, probably too well. But she happens to be the mother of my two children and my wife, Michelle Weaver. Now, don't think this episode is a layup because I was looking for a guest. Michelle is someone I wanted to have on the podcast since the beginning because she truly has a story that I wanted to share. And today's episode is going to get emotional. I can guarantee you that. We both shed tears during this episode. So get your tissues ready because this is an incredible story. One of resilience and not becoming a product of your environment. She is truly one of the most caring and selfless people I've ever met in my entire life. And I'm honestly not saying that because she's my wife. I'm saying it because it's true. She has led me to become a better person myself, and one I'm proud to be. Without her, a lot of this wouldn't have been possible. So I'm super excited to share her story this week. So if you like this episode, please share it with a friend. Sharing a story like this goes a long way and really helps people understand that you don't need to be a product of your environment, and it's okay to fight back. And after you get done sharing the show with a friend, please go on to Apple Podcasts, leave us a 5-star rate and review, and let us know how we're doing. In between episodes, if you want to keep up with us on social media, you can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/madeuspodcast or on Instagram and Twitter at madeuspodcast. And if you have a guest suggestion or would like to drop us any feedback, you can do that at madeuspodcast@hotmail.com. And now last week, I had a lot of great feedback about our Patreon idea. And if you haven't heard that idea, please go back and listen to last week's episode and let us know what you think about the Patreon idea. I really would like to do this, but I want to make sure it's something you guys want as well. So like I said before, this week is an emotional roller coaster. You're going to want the tissues ready because Michelle's story is a powerful one and one that I think is going to impact a lot of people. There was definitely some moments in this episode that you can tell she was reluctant to talk about. But I'm extremely happy that I got her to open up and talk about them, because I truly think this can help a lot of people. So without further ado, Mrs. Made Us Podcast herself, Michelle Weaver. You ready for this?
I'm ready.
All right. Well, here we go.
All right.
Welcome to the podcast, Michelle.
Thanks for having me in my office.
Yeah, we are in your office. Thank you for letting me use your office. I appreciate it.
You're welcome.
It's kind of definitely a makeshift, different thing, but we're making it work.
Yeah, it works so far.
It smells good in here, at least.
Yeah, it smells really good.
So the listeners already know some about you, but let's tell the listeners a little bit more about you.
Okay, well, I'm your wife.
Yep.
So I'm Mrs. Zach Weaver, as some people like to say. We obviously have our two children that are not crying at the moment.
That's true. And they are in the house. So forgive us. We might have to pause the podcast at some point and take care of some children, but we'll come back.
I have a couple different jobs. I work at Corvette Central, which is a family-owned company that sells Corvette parts. I've worked there for
ever.
The past 18 years.
Forever.
Which is really hard to say because it makes me feel old. So, and then of course I do my smell good stuff on the side.
What's your smell good stuff?
I have a Scentsy business. So it's a home fragrance company that makes your house smell good, or your body, or your car, or whatever stinks.
Yeah. And you crush that stuff.
I try.
You definitely
do my best.
You definitely do a great job for sure. So if someone wants to get a hold of you for that,
You can probably just go to my website, which is michelleweaver.scentsy.us, but Michelle is spelled M-I-S-H-E-L-L-E.
Yeah, thank your parents for that one.
Yeah, I do. Daily. I think that's one of the funniest things that people tell me. They're like, I love the way you spell your name. Like, I had any control over it whatsoever.
Yeah, it was weird. When we first met, that was something that was kind of weird to me, was the spelling of your name, because I've never seen a M-I-S-H before. So that's really strange, but it kind of makes sense. Like, it's all spelled phonetically.
Right, right. This is what I tell people, like, when I was younger and people would, like, make fun of me. I'd be like, how do you spell shell? How do you spell Michelle? You put a M-I on the top of S-H-E-L-L-E.
So, that's perfect. I mean, that's it right there.
I mean, people made fun of me all the time, so.
Yeah, it's it happens. Fine.
You find ways to deal with it. So, other than that, I mean, I just try to run things around here.
You do. And so. you definitely run things. You are the boss around here. Everybody knows that.
Yeah.
For sure.
That's true.
I just get to play in the world.
Yeah. Because I kind of like you, so.
I appreciate that.
I kind of let you do what you like to do. You get into your weird.
I appreciate that. So, speaking of your parents, it's kind of why we're sitting here talking tonight. I know this about you. Obviously, we've been together a long time. We've been together 15 years, married 10 years, which is crazy because I don't feel like we're that old, but apparently we're that old. But I know this about you, and I know you really had a kind of a tough childhood coming up and something that there's not a lot of people that go through it and survive as well as you have. I think that's the biggest thing is just your resilience.
Yeah, I try.
Yeah.
Some days are easier than others, of course.
You do well. You do well, but you've really come forward and made something of yourself.
Yeah, it's all about you choose your own path. Like, you could grow up in a bad home front or an environment or whatever and choose to continue along the same path, or you could choose a different path. So I just kind of chose to go a different route.
Yeah. And what path did you start on? Or what path did your parents lead you on?
Well, they were both alcoholics like my entire life. I have no memories of that not being like really a thing. So with that, like, we definitely were on the poor end of the spectrum, I guess you could call it. But we always had a roof over our head. We always had food. We always had clothes.
Yeah.
But that was about their parenting.
That's tough.
You
guys, did you move around a lot?
No, not actually at all. I was born in Colorado Springs, and then my parents moved back here. I have an older brother who was born in Michigan, and then they moved to Colorado. He's 3 years older than me. And then after I was born, they moved back to Michigan, and then they stayed.
So you just ended up out there, and that was it, just to be
born? Yeah, my dad was a crane operator out there. And
okay, I didn't realize that.
That's how I was.
You think I would know that by now, being together for 15 years? You think I would know why you ended up out there?
Yeah, it was just he's always ran equipment, and he's always done things like that, and he had some friends. I don't know how they actually got out there, but I know shortly after I was born, my mom was like, yeah, we're going back. Like, her parents were here, and her sister and brother and everybody were here, so she wanted to be back.
So, alcoholism was something you always saw in the household?
Yeah, 100%. Like, I don't have any memories of them not. And some days it was fine. They just had a beer or two after work, and then other days was what a lot of people experience with alcoholics is abuse and anger and resentment, and the list could go on.
Yeah, was it abuse towards you or towards your mother or towards your other siblings? Or against your father, I guess I should say. I shouldn't just...
Right. It was mostly my dad against my mom. Sometimes it would be towards us kids as we got older and we would try to intervene and interfere.
Yeah.
You know you shouldn't, but then again, when somebody's treating somebody you care about that way, you're like, you can't help but... But then again, sometimes when we were younger, it was between like him and other people. Like,
yeah,
you know, it wasn't just always within the family. It was just... And some days he's one of the nicest guys you'd ever meet when he's sober, and then he completely turns and is a different person when he's drinking.
I've witnessed that myself. I mean, he really is a great... He can be a great human being. But once he gets that alcohol monster in him, that switch flips.
Right.
He's a different person.
And I know that it might sound weird to you, but he's actually a lot better than he ever used to be.
Like, oh, really?
He used to be a lot worse.
Really?
And you would be, you know, you'd be a little kid and he'd be drinking most of the evening and then fall asleep at 6 o'clock. Well, you need to be quiet and you need to not make a sound and you need to not wake him up, because you wake him up and he's this crazy angry person that nobody can tame because he's still drunk, but he slept a little bit and now he's just mean. Yeah. And it was just like several nights. Like, I couldn't even count on one hand. Like, it was a lot.
That's tough.
And was it just your father that was, I mean, it was the alcoholism, or was it throughout your family?
Yeah, it was throughout the family. Like, his dad was that way. He lost his mom when he was 16 years old. And
I think that really leads to a lot.
Yeah.
When you lose a parent young and the remaining parent doesn't have full control of the situation because they're grieving as well, it's really hard on children.
Yeah. And he lived in a family with his two brothers and his dad was a severe alcoholic as well. So they kind of had to take care of themselves.
Yeah.
But then other elements came in. I know for 100% with my heart that if his mom wouldn't have passed at that young of age, he would be a completely different person at this time. He was part of that, you know, you kind of are a product of your environment. Like, he came from a family that was that way. He didn't have the support of a mother and a father. And then, you know, he did do his best. Like I said, I always had food. I always had clothes. Yeah. I always had a warm bed. Like, that was all.
Yeah. And his siblings were, I mean, kind of along the same lines too, right?
Yeah. They're probably even worse than him. He's probably the best out of the three of them.
Yeah.
For sure. And then my grandpa remarried at some point, and then they had another son and kind of was the same way.
He's quite a bit younger. That uncle of yours, I mean, he's almost our age.
Yeah, he's a little bit older than we are.
Yeah, he's about, the same age as your older brother?
I think he's like a year or two older, so he's probably like 5 or 6 years older than I am.
Yeah.
So that was part of what he lived from and came into. And then he was an alcoholic, and then my mom actually was too. But she wasn't mean and she wasn't violent, but she drank every night, you know. She'd want to drink every night if we'd even, you know. It was pretty much every night. It might not have been.
Do you think it's partially coping with your father?
Oh, yeah. 100%. Because her home life was not that way at all.
Yeah.
You know, she had, my grandma and grandpa were amazing.
Yeah, like, now, I never met your grand. I never met your mom's father, that right, grandfather.
Right.
But I was fortunate enough to get to know your grandmother on that side.
Yeah.
And yeah, I definitely don't see that from that family. I mean, that was a very different family. You know, I mean, it's hard to say that they were a prim and proper family. You know, that's a weird thing to say, but that's kind of what you know, they really were that family. And, you know, she went to church all the time, and church was a big part of her life. And not that church means anything, not that just because you go to church, you can't be a bad person or whatever, but
right,
she really believed it and lived that
and
life.
And she lived her life that way.
Yeah. Yeah, she was weird about, I don't know if she was weird about us. I mean, I'm assuming she was weird about us. I know she was weird about some of your cousins, you know, moving in with a male not being married. And I knew that she was kind of uncomfortable with that, which is even, you know, kind of leads to that traditional upbringing.
Yeah, she definitely was. And when she needed more help, like in her life and in her home, and, you know, my cousin tried to move in and she was like, well, you can move in, but your boyfriend can't move in because you're not married.
Yeah.
She was, and, you know, anything that affected her home is what she believed in. She might not have agreed with us living together before we got married, but we also weren't asking her for anything or living in her home. That's or true. Whatever. So she was one of those people, you know, I just won't say anything at all because it doesn't directly affect me. Like, she didn't have anything negative to say.
I fucking wish more people would do that.
It's true. Like,
I wish more people would just mind their fucking business sometimes.
I mean, I 100% believe that she probably doesn't like my tattoos. She probably doesn't like that we lived together for so long or whatever. But she was always accepting of you. She never, I could have a brand new tattoo. She would just pretend like it wasn't there.
That's true. She would.
She didn't acknowledge it, but she didn't acknowledge it positively or negatively.
Yeah.
And she had the patience of a saint, I guess you could say, because she was just,
she really believed that if you have nothing nice to say, don't say anything at all.
100%. Yeah. 100%. And like you said, more people could be that way.
I wish more people were that way, for sure.
So, and it's weird because, you know, my mom did drink a lot and my aunt does, and like, it has kind of carried over. I don't really know where that comes from, but
yeah,
but that doesn't, you know, my mom was a great person and my aunt's a great person. Like, whenever, you know, regardless of their situation, like if I were to need something, you know, as we got older and such, like, you know, they always, my mom and dad, they would take care of us, you know.
They did look out for us, for sure.
When we were pregnant with Maddox, they bought us our crib that we needed. Yeah. You know, when we got pregnant with Sagan, they bought us a rocking chair because we didn't have one and they thought that he needed one. So, you know, there's good and bad. My dad's mellowed out a lot over the years, but there's a path you choose. Like, I could follow the substance abuse and get in trouble and do different things, because that was part of it too. Like, there was alcoholism, but that led into crime, so to speak. Yeah. You know, whether it's domestic violence or it's DUIs or whatever, then you're kind of a target on your back.
Yeah.
For the situation.
And your family really locally did have a target on its back. I remember, I mean, we mildly joked about it when we got together that just because of your last name, anytime you'd get pulled over for anything, the local law enforcement wouldn't give you any breaks. I mean, they would always write you a ticket.
100%.
And from the moment we got married and you changed your name, you don't get tickets anymore.
It was really when we bought that white Envoy and the car was in your name. So when you ran the license plates, it was yours. That's when I stopped getting speeding tickets.
Yeah.
Even though maybe my driving pattern didn't really change that much. I mean, maybe I mellowed out a little bit, but overall, yeah, it was a target. And it was, they'd run your plates and they'd see that name and they'd see that address. And it's like, nope.
Yeah.
You must be trouble.
And it was pretty hard because you had a whole, it's not just your direct family. I mean, you had cousins and stuff that were in trouble a lot too with that same last name.
Yeah. My dad's cousins. So like his dad's brother. Yeah. It went all through the line. There was several of them and they were mostly male.
Yeah.
And they had that same last name. And then it just kind of spread like wildfire. So at some point when I was, I don't even know how old I was. I just decided, I'm like, I don't want to live this way forever. Yeah. And I'm not going to.
That's a tough decision to make. How old do you think you were at that point? I mean, were you, maybe you don't know the exact age, but were you think we were middle school or high school?
Yeah, I would say probably middle school.
Yeah.
Yeah, just at some point, I mean, where we live, my parents' property has always been right where it is. We lived in a different house. We lived in like a small trailer, which was just a, you know, a single wide trailer on a cement slab. And it was shortly after my grandpa passed away that they decided to build a new house and they did this big walkout basement and bought a modular and put it on. But I know it was before that because I know we were still living in that the other trailer. And I was like, nope, I don't want to live like this. I don't want to be like this. I don't want to raise my kids to experience any of this, you know. Yes, I
need a breath. You're doing good. I know it's tough. You're doing great.
So when I turned 15, I found a waitressing job. I was pretty good at sports like throughout, like in middle school and stuff, but I could never go because I didn't ever have anybody to pick me up from practice or take me to games or.
Yeah, that's hard when your parents are not being able to support you the way they should because the alcoholism is taking over.
Yeah, and some of it was they were working. But some of it was when you got off work, you had other priorities.
Yeah.
And that's what they chose to do. So when, you know, I played a little bit of sports. I ran track for a little bit. I played softball 1 year. But it was so much fight and it was so much headache. I'm like, forget this. It's not worth it.
And yeah, that's hard.
I'm kind of like that in general. Like, I don't ruffle feathers if I don't really need to. Like, people think I'm mean, but I'm really not. But I just kind of decided, like, I'll just figure stuff out for myself. So at like 15 and I wasn't driving yet, but my cousin had got a job at a restaurant and I was like, oh, maybe I could work there too. If your mom will take me too, or if whoever picks you up will pick me up.
Yeah.
Like I'm already like making different arrangements for myself. So it's easier. So I started working whatever age you have to have a work permit from school and you could only work as much as you could work. And I started working and saving my money and then I had enough money to buy my own car when I turned 16. Right away, got my driver's license.
Yeah, so you bought your car on your own?
Yeah.
With no support?
No support.
That's awesome.
And that worked out well for me until my older brother wrecked it on Christmas Eve.
What? How did he wreck your car on Christmas Eve?
Well, he has very bad luck with cars, like really bad luck. And I would never let him drive my car, but it's Christmas Eve and he wanted to go. How far was Galene from my parents' house? Like
not far. 5 miles.
So he wanted to drive to Galene to see his girlfriend. And I was like, all right, you can take my car, but don't wreck my car.
Yeah.
And I apparently I like shouldn't that that's an have ultimatum. That. Yeah, I did. And this was before we had cell phones and stuff like that.
Because we're old.
Well, I mean, I was probably only 16 or.
Yeah.
Probably only 16. Because I don't think I had the car a whole year. And he went. and somebody pulled out in front of them, and it was super icy, and they slid and sideswiped them and totaled my car.
And on Christmas Eve.
On Christmas Eve.
Holy and shit.
I'm in the kitchen with my mom helping her make stuff because that's what we would do. And, yeah. You know, get ready because you're still young. So you're home. It's Christmas Eve and Santa's going to come, you know. And he calls the house phone and he's like, Shelly, I'm so sorry.
Wait, you answered?
I answered. And he's like, I'm like, you wrecked my car. And I just like freaked out and I hung up on him. And I didn't know where he was or if he was okay. My mom was so mad. She's like, is he okay? Like, is everything all right? The car's not a big deal. I'm like, he wrecked my car. And I was kind of being a baby about it, but yeah. I was really mad.
Yeah, I would be too.
So, and then I ended up, the insurance paid for most of it. And then I found another car, which was a Buick.
Yeah.
And it was cream color, even though everybody called it yellow all the time. And I drove that for a long time. And I waitressed for a long time and made money there. And then I got a job at Corvette Central. My mom actually worked at Corvette Central before I started.
Okay.
So she kind of gave me an in.
Yeah, got an in there.
And then I worked in the customer service department. Now I work in a different department. But I just kind of like... I pick up on things really well and I can learn really easily and I just kind of like put my head down and do what I need to do. And
I'm going to take you back for a minute. Do you remember if there was a moment that kind of set you off to make you say that this is not the life I want to live? You're good.
So I think it really was... one night, close family friends of ours, got married and their wedding was awesome. They're such great people and they're so fun and they're still, you know, they got married young and they're still married today and a good part of our life. But at some point my dad had left the reception and we went back or I don't even know exactly what happened. But when we came home, he was mad. He was mad that we had stayed or whatever.
Okay.
And at some point he put his hands on me and I don't know exactly if he had done that before or maybe not to that extreme.
Yeah. That's the first time that really it stuck with you.
It had really, really stuck. And I sent him to jail. And that was... It's still hard. Because... Like, you know, you feel bad. Like, you don't want your parent to go through that. But I had a younger brother and I was trying to make sure he was okay. And...
You have to do what you have to do.
Right. And it was just, I'm like, I'm done with this. Like, you don't need to be this way. Or, you know, there's no reason for this. And, you know, I'm thankful that I know what not to be.
Yeah.
That might sound crazy to some people, but it's just.
You can always learn something from everybody, even if it's what not to do.
Right. And that was a big part of it. I'm like, I'm not going to treat people that way. I'm not going to act that way. I'm going to try to be better. Yeah. So I you know, I'm going to work hard. I ended up moving out shortly after I was 17. And that was a hard decision to make because it did leave my younger brother in that environment. But I couldn't fix it. And it wasn't my job to fix it. But yeah. My mom chose to stay. And
that's a tough thing to try to cope with as a 17-year-old.
Yeah. And then at the same time, I wanted to be 17. I didn't want to worry about all this stuff. I wanted to just try to live some type of, you know, resemblance of a normal teenage life, which, you know, that hasn't been the case, but.
Yeah, that's hard to do, especially growing up the way you did. It's hard to grow up like that and still try to live a normal teenage life, I'm sure. Especially when you know, before you had a car, you weren't able to go places. You weren't able to get away from it. You know, but once you got a car, I mean, I could see that it was, I don't want to say easier, but at least you had an escape.
Yeah. And it was in some sense easier because it was my control and then I needed that too. I could leave when I wanted to, or, you know, my little brother did end up getting to play more sports and do more stuff because I was able to pick him up and I was able to take him to practices.
Yeah.
And
which is huge.
And that helped with his, you know, a little bit of his normalcy for high school life. Granted, there's still a lot that he had to deal with too, you know, but that's something completely different. But it's just, I tried to do the best I could.
Yeah.
So I was just thinking to myself as I'm doing this, like, I don't want to paint this picture of that my dad is this terrible person, because genuinely he really is in his soul like a good person.
He really is.
And I'm just sharing this as, you know, my story. And I'm obviously touching on some darker moments, but, you know, I still had presents at Christmas, and I still, he was there, they were there for every birthday. And, you know, there are those moments, you know, but then there's those other moments too. I don't want to paint this bad picture. I don't want to hurt anybody or make anybody feel bad. I just want, if I can help somebody else, like, you can get through that, and your story isn't the rest of your life. Your history isn't what your future. And
absolutely.
As I move forward with life, like, I just try to do things with, like, patience and an open heart and open mind, and just, like, you don't need to treat people badly.
Yeah.
Do what you can. And
you never really know what someone else is going through either.
Right.
Which is a big thing.
It was funny. We were over at a friend's house a couple weeks ago, and a girl that we were actually, like, childhood rivals.
Okay.
And we didn't even know each other very well. My grandma lived just down the road from where we live now, and this girl and her friends lived on the street, and we were just mean to each other. Like,
yeah.
Teenage girls being mean, and she was talking about how mean she was, and I'm like, I was just as mean as she was. And she had her own stuff that she was going through with her parents and divorce and stuff, and then I had my own things that I was dealing with at my house. And I'm like, those things, like, you don't see it when it's happening, but that's essentially what, you know, drove us to. True. And in that same conversation, she started asking me how my older brother was doing and stuff like that, because she knew about that. And then the friends that we've gained over living near here, they're like, "You have a brother?" And I was like, I do, but he chose a different path. He chose to go down the substance abuse and...
Yeah, and really become a product of his environment.
Yeah.
And not fight against that.
Yeah.
And that's been really sad to say. I mean, not to get too crazy personal, but yeah, in the time we've been together, I mean, it's been tough to watch him, and it's been, you know, sadly, I hate to say that I've personally wrote him off, but that's how I feel, because I don't know what else to do with him.
Right. There's nothing to do.
Yeah.
You have to, at some point, be accountable for your own actions. And if you don't want to do that, you can't expect everybody to just be like, "Oh, it's okay. Oh, it's okay," for the 900th time.
Yeah. No, that is true.
And I know that, you know, we have the same parents. We were raised in the same house. We're only 3 years apart. Like, you can be more than what is set in front of you if you try.
Absolutely. You know, it's good too. And I think you led a really good example for your younger brother. You know, he's really come through and done some really good things.
Yeah, he has.
That he might not have done if you had not been that example for him. Because yes, you pushed away from it, and you showed him that you don't have to live like this, that you don't have to be that person. And you, I mean, just like you said, you took him to sporting events, you did things for him to help him out, but he did not fall in that line.
That's true. Yeah. He graduated and he went to college and he
graduated from there and went to college again.
And yeah. And, you know, he's destined for a bigger thing. I mean, he's still young and figuring stuff out, but he's going to do great things for sure.
He's not a person that has the big substance use problems, that has the crime problems, that's done time in jail or prison or got DUIs and everything else. You know, he is just there trying to do better as well.
Right. And I'm happy for that. And I'm happy that as my dad got older, he's more mellow, and he's, you know, he's actually kind of really a soft touch these days.
Yeah. I didn't realize your dad, as you were saying this, was worse than he is now. You know, I mean, granted, in the past few years, with some stuff that's happened, life has changed. But, you know, when we first got together, I mean, we've been together a long time, that I wouldn't have expected that he was worse than that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, there's even times I remember with him there. My grandpa used to live right down the road from us, and he had ended up selling his property, and they had a big falling out regarding that. But these people that bought this property were just these terrible, like, crazy people that were just, I mean, you wouldn't, like, it was something like out of a movie, and they would, like, be in the woods, and they would, like, be yelling and taunting him in the dark and stuff, and it would just, then he would get drunk and mad and, like, be yelling back and, like, doing crazy things, and
That's some crazy hillbilly shit.
Super, super. But, you know, it happened. And then
yeah,
there would be times he'd be being really mean and hateful, and he'd tell my mom to leave, which then she tried to leave, but then he'd take her keys and he'd throw them in the woods, and then we're looking for her purse and her keys in the woods, trying to, so we could leave, because that's what he told us to do. So we're locked out of the house, and we're in the dark in the woods looking for keys and purse. And
that's something no kid should ever have to go through.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how old you are. I mean, I feel bad, like, if we have a small argument about something silly and our kids are like, are you guys mad at each other?
Yeah. Yeah, and our arguments aren't anything like that.
No, it's like, do I have to tell you 900 times to take the trash out?
Hey, I take it out occasionally.
You know, but that's it. It's not these big, huge arguments or these big, crazy things. And that's what I, you know, strive to protect them from as much as I can, because I don't want them to experience any of that. I don't want, you know, I just want them to know that people love them and care about them, and that's all that kids should know.
You're absolutely right. That is all that kids should know. The kids shouldn't have to see the things you've seen and experience the things you've seen. And definitely, I mean, I'm not giving them, and by them, I just mean in general, but I'm not giving people the pass on saying that just because you've seen these things, it's okay. But when you've seen these things, that's all you know. And it's understandable why people do become a product of their environment, because they don't know any different.
Yeah.
Even though they should, and even though they could fight to be better, sometimes they don't, just because they just see this and that's what they think they have to be.
Yeah. And I really struggle with that personally, because I know that you don't have to be that way just because that's what you've seen. Or if people are like, that's all I've ever known. Well, do something different. Make something different. Like,
yeah, because you've done it. You know personally that you can do it.
Right. But then the empathetic part of me is like, I know, I get it. It sucks. It's hard. And that just doesn't give you an excuse to be selfish.
No, you're absolutely right. And too many people do that. I mean, they don't want to ruffle feathers. They don't want to stir the pot. They just want to sit and do exactly what they know. And then that leads into these other problems.
I definitely am the person that doesn't want to ruffle feathers, and I don't want to cause controversy. And that is partially because of the way I grew up. Because if you didn't, you know, poke the bear or poke the beast, then maybe you'd have a calm evening, or you'd maybe have a relaxed evening, and you wouldn't have to deal with that. But at the same time, I choose to live my life as a better person, and, like, you know, push forward, and, you know, I work hard, and I take care of my home, and I take care of my family, and I just push us to do better things. You have all the crazy ideas, but I'm the one that puts them in motion.
That's true. That is 100% true. I can't say anything different than that. I come up with the stuff and you figure out how to make it work.
Yeah.
And we do.
We do.
Somehow you do. I don't do shit. I just
No, do you it. Do. You do a lot of the legwork, but you know, making sure it works with our family and our home life and stuff, you know, I kind of keep the balance.
You really do. You figure things out and you keep things going straight for us, and that's awesome.
Yeah. And I love, like, you know, I said it before, and, you know, we're sitting here in my Sensi office, but that's one of the things that, like, drew me to the company, is, like, their core values are simplicity and generosity and authenticity. So I really try, when we started the tattoo shop, like, we did fundraisers to give back to people.
Yeah.
You know, we did the breast cancer awareness and the other things, and we just do what we can to give back, and it's just authentic. Like, we're not doing it to get anything out of it. And that's the same thing with the company. So because, you know, obviously I like it. It makes your house smell good without having to clean as often. But it also, like, they are a genuine people who are just trying to make people's lives better.
Yeah, they really are. We were fortunate enough to meet them in person and get to talk to them. And they really do seem like an amazing, genuine couple. What are their names?
Heidi and Orville Thompson.
Okay. And they're the owners of Sensi.
Yeah.
And they really do, not to turn this into a Sensi commercial, but they really do push that out there to try to make people's lives better. And it's very inspiring and humbling.
Yeah. And it has made my life better.
It's made our life better.
Yeah. It's something, you know, that I started just for me, to have something for me. And it's added so much to our family and to our lives.
And I'm, you know, embarrassed to say that, you know, when you brought me the idea, I wasn't the most supportive person in the world, which I really kicked myself. And it's frustrating to me that I wasn't. But You know, when you said you want to do it, I wasn't sold on it.
Right.
But the way we talked about it and the way you just described it to me, I said, if you wanted to do it, I had your back.
Right.
And you did it and you went crazy. And that's just you. I mean, that is you to a T. That's you through your childhood. That's everything. Is you are this resilient person that is just going to fight and make it work.
Right.
And that's incredible to see. And I wish more people could see that and could be that person.
Yeah. And that's how I feel. That's how I try to feel about myself, is that just do what you can to be better and to give more to the world and give more than you can take. And you don't have to be a product of your environment. You don't have to just repeat the cycle over and over again. You just push through and have that resilience.
Yeah. So, as you know, the way I wrap up every episode is I ask for one piece of advice. So if you had one piece of advice to give somebody, what would it be?
Well, I mean, first of all, is be kind to people, because you don't know people's story. You don't know what's going through. You might think that they're a mean, grouchy person, or that they look like they're mad or whatever, but maybe they're just having a hard day. Maybe something in their life is hard, and being kind goes a long way. And then just be resilient, push through. Like, if there's things that in your past or things that are hard, like, keep pushing, keep doing things that make you proud of yourself, and you'll be okay.
I love it. Thank you for joining me tonight.
Thank you for having me.
That was awesome. Someone's crying. Hold on. And we're back from the children.